Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Make Her Wish Come True by A.L. Brooks, narrated by Anastasia Whatley. Chapter 1. Oh, Abby, there you are. Thank goodness. Abby whirled around from her perusal of the storage cupboard, heart racing at the urgency in Arlene's tone. Her boss stood in the doorway of the small room where they kept spare office equipment along with kitchen and stationery supplies. Arlene's face was flushed, and one hand was pressed to her sternum. "Are you okay?" Abby asked, stepping closer, peering into Arlene's brown eyes with concern. "Fine, fine. But Chelsea called in sick, and Tiffany will be here any moment."
"Chelsea is sick? Today?"
Abby's heart dropped to her stomach. Arlene wrung her hands. "She is. And I know this isn't fair, but you know I already have that outside appointment at 10, so, oh God." Abby swallowed. Then she straightened her spine. "Okay, not an ideal way to start a Monday, but she could do this, right?" Tiffany Fitzgerald was just a person. Admittedly, the most important person at Key Magazine, the number one online lifestyle magazine in the U.S., she was the brainchild behind the concept, the woman with a vision who some said was almost supernatural in her uncanny ability to influence the worlds of fashion and decor, the woman who had zero tolerance for incompetence, and whom Abby had only met once in such cringe-inducing circumstances that she still shuddered at the memory. The coffee she'd spilled down Tiffany's dress had thankfully not been hot, so the only damage done was to the expensive clothing. But the glare in Tiffany's eyes had given Abby nightmares for weeks afterwards. And now, with Chelsea, her personal assistant, off sick, and Arlene unavailable, the only person left in the administration department who could look after Tiffany on one of her rare visits to the building was Abby. She, of the lowest paid job in the company and the least amount of experience, having only started working at Key 9 months previously. A cold sweat trickled down her spine, but she gritted her teeth and looked Arlene square in the eye.
"Okay, I've got this, I swear. Can you show me her calendar?"
Arlene clutched Abby's forearms.
"Bless you."
30 minutes later, Abby waited nervously for the elevator to arrive on their floor. With a heads-up she'd requested from Jimmy on security at the front desk in the lobby 18 floors below, she was 100% ready to greet the infamous Ms. Fitzgerald. Tablet in one hand with Tiffany's schedule on screen, she used her other hand to smooth down, for about the 10th time, her skirt. The elevator announced its arrival with a loud ping, and the doors slid open. Abby swallowed hard. Tiffany stepped out of the elevator, her poise straight and elegant, aided by her almost 6 feet of height. Only the smallest of crinkles to her forehead signified that she did, unfortunately, remember exactly who Abby was. "Good morning, Tiffany," Abby said brightly, her voice only wobbling a little. "Hello." Tiffany brushed past her and down the hallway toward her office. Abby hurried after her. "Your 10:30 is here and waiting in the conference room. They have coffee, pastries, and the briefing packs. Your 11:30 has asked to rearrange to next week. I told them you had a full schedule already, so they will be in contact with Chelsea once she's back in the office. Your 12 has confirmed, as has your 3 p.m. A part of her brain cringed at the banality of the words. She was a journalist, for Pete's sake. Well, she had a journalism degree, at least. But here she was, organizing coffee and appointments. It sucked. Tiffany reached the doorway of her office and turned her head to Abby. One eyebrow quirked.
"Good. I will eat lunch at 2:15 here in the office, my usual from Earthsoul."
She reached into her purse and pulled out two $20 bills.
"And right now, I would like a double shot soy latte, no foam, from Java Me Up. Thank you."
And with that, she closed the door to her office, leaving Abby staring at the white-painted wood, her nose almost touching it.
"Well, it could have been worse." She heaved out a relieved breath, spun on her heel, and headed back down the hallway. Halfway along, she spied Stacy waiting by her tiny cubicle. "Hey, you!" Stacy waved, a big smile on her face. "Is it true? You're Tiffany's bitch for the day?" Abby laughed, then swatted Stacy on the arm. "Hearty har. How was your weekend?" Stacy's bright blue eyes sparkled. "Good. Jason and I narrowed down the wedding venues at last. We're going to visit the shortlisted ones again over the next week or two. How was yours?"
"That's great."
"And yeah, mine was pretty good too. Worked a little more on that short story I was telling you about."
"Oh, cool. Maybe one day you'll let me read something of yours."
Stacy smiled warmly. Abby's face heated. She never shared her writing with anyone, even though she was happy to talk about the process. And she certainly couldn't imagine letting Stacy read anything. Stacy was a fantastic writer, and someone Abby admired hugely. She had been the standout student when they were in college together, and she'd only improved since then. Abby was in awe of Stacy's progress in the cutthroat world of journalism. Her award-winning social commentary column, Our Lives, was one of the Key's most read, week in, week out.
"No pressure."
Stacy held up her hands, then her eyes tightened. "God knows there's enough of that around here," she muttered. Then she looked back at Abby and smiled once more. "Anyway, gotta run. Catch you at lunch?" "Sorry, no can do. Have to go get Tiffany's lunch, and I'm pretty sure she's going to run me ragged all day. I've seen how exhausted Chelsea looks after her visits." Stacy leaned in.
"I know. Wanna bet Chelsea's not really sick today, but just needed a break from Ms. Demanding?" she whispered.
"I wouldn't blame her." Abby shook her head.
"Ms. Baxter, will you be heading out anytime soon to get that coffee?"
Tiffany's cutting voice called down the hallway behind them. Abby froze, met Stacy's wide eyes, then turned to face Tiffany.
"On my way, ma'am." She held up the money, as if that was some kind of proof.
Behind her, Stacy snickered. Tiffany stared at Abby for a moment, then shut her door. Abby groaned.
"This day is going to kill me. I know it."
"You'll be fine. I have every faith in you." Stacy patted Abby's back.
"Easy for you to say. You just have to sit at your desk and create wonderful words, as always."
Stacy's smile dropped for a moment, then quickly popped back onto her lips. She mock saluted.
"Then I and my words shall leave you to your coffee excursion."
Abby sighed.
"Thanks a lot."
Erica had just finished wiping down the last three tables when the front door flew open violently behind her. It crashed against the wall and she whipped around, heart thudding.
"Sorry."
A young white woman, probably about Erica's own age of 28, stood in the doorway with her hands held up in apology. Her face was scrunched into a deep frown, marring her otherwise cute features. Long, thick brown hair cascaded over the shoulders of her silk, burgundy-colored shirt.
"Are you closing?"
Erica glanced at the big clock behind the counter, which showed the time is 2:15. They closed at 2:30, which was when she could get out of here and go home to Kayla for their precious 45 minutes together. She tucked the cloth into the pocket of her apron.
"Soon, yes, but I can get you something to go."
"Great." The woman rushed over. "I need a piece of the spinach quiche with a side of quinoa salad and an oligo juice, and I need it like 5 minutes ago because I'm so late and she's gonna kill me." The words were fired so fast they practically ran into each other in their haste to leave the woman's mouth. Erica blinked, processing what she'd said.
Sorry, we're all out of the quiche. We've got some of the gluten-free veggie pizza left, or..."
"No!" The woman tilted her head back and stared at the ceiling for a moment. Her dramatic response turned the heads of the few customers left in the cafe. The woman shifted the heavy-looking bag on her shoulder. When she looked back at Erica, her lips were set in a grim line.
It has to be the quiche. Don't you have some in the back you can just, you know, heat up or something?
Erica bristled at the demanding tone and walked over to the counter before answering, if only to give herself time to avoid a snippy response. It had been a long day, what with Kayla waking her up 3 times in the night with imaginary ills. Never mind the fabulous moment earlier in the morning when Erica had somehow not attached the lid of the blender properly and had spray-painted half the kitchen and herself with carrot juice.
"Come on, please," the woman begged. "I'm having a really bad day and I really, really need to get this food and get out of here. And, like, fast. So could you please just hurry it up?"
Erica spun on her heels to face the woman, her tolerance heading for the exit at lightning speed.
"You're having a bad day? I bet half the damn city is, including me. So how about you ditch the attitude if you actually want to get some service here?"
As soon as the words were spoken, she slammed her mouth shut, wishing she could take them back. She was not supposed to talk to customers like that. Earth Soul, the vegan cafe she'd worked at for the last 3 years, was supposed to be a place of peace and calm, offering nurturing food and drinks to ease their customers' days and lives. God, what had she done? She needed this job and the good money she earned from tips. She opened her mouth to apologize, but the other woman spoke first.
"Fine." The word came out from between gritted teeth. "Please, could you possibly check in the back to see if you have any more of the spinach quiche that you would be able to prepare for me?"
Her tone was all forced sweetness. Erica blew out a breath, the puff of air swirling the stray strands of hair that had escaped her loose bun.
Okay, apparently not going to lose her job immediately, as the woman's desperation seemed to take precedent over any offense she may have taken. Clearly, the quiche, that particular quiche, was important.
"I'll see what we've got." She headed for the kitchen, where Marika was busy cleaning the last of the pans and utensils that didn't fit in the dishwasher.
"Hey," Marika said, bobbing her head to the music she constantly listened to in her in-ear pods whenever she was in the kitchen.
"Do you know if we have another spinach quiche in here?" Erica pointed at the refrigerator.
"Got a rude customer pleading for a slice."
Marika rolled her eyes.
"Lucky you. And yeah, I think Candace cooked up 2 or 3 for tomorrow. You know, she won't mind if you take a slice now."
Relief washed over her. The last thing she wanted was to have to go back and tell the woman they were all out. She could only imagine the response and the potential fallout for herself. Within 2 minutes, she had a slice of the quiche prepped on a microwave plate and was headed back to her impatient customer. When she walked back into the room, the woman was pacing the floor, her cell pressed against her ear. The burgundy of her shirt was such a great color for her creamy complexion. Heck, if Erica was honest, despite the attitude, the woman was very nice to look at all over. Gorgeous, big brown eyes, dark and beautifully sculpted eyebrows, a nose that some might say bordered on a little too big for her face, but framed by high cheekbones that diminished its impact, and full, plump lips that shone with a hint of lipstick and looked like they'd be as soft as... Erica swallowed hard and tore her gaze away from her overindulgent perusal. It had been a while since she'd allowed herself the time to look at a woman, or man, for that matter. And now was the worst timing ever. "Do you want it heated up?" she called.
The woman said a couple of words into her phone, then rammed it into her pocket. She hurried over to the counter, her eyes wide.
"You found some?"
Her voice was a squeak.
"Oh my God, you are a lifesaver. Thank you, thank you, thank you."
All this for a piece of quiche? Erica threw her an uncertain smile.
"You're welcome. So, heated or not?"
"Please, yes, thank you."
The woman smiled then, and Erica's breath caught at the transformation. Her face practically glowed, her eyes radiant.
"You're welcome."
Her voice came out a little croaky. She cleared her throat.
"Remind me again, which juice was it?"
All aglow. Small or large? The woman bit her bottom lip as she pondered the question.
Large. Erica tore her gaze away from her mouth.
Okay, give me a minute and I'll have that all done for you.
She turned her back to finish prepping the food and juice, and to force herself not to stare at that beautiful face any longer. When she'd bagged everything up, she placed the paper sack on the counter, then rang up the total.
That's $25, please.
The woman nodded and pulled a battered wallet from her bag. She counted out 4 tens and handed them over.
Keep the change.
Erica's fingers froze on the bills.
That's too much.
The woman sighed and smiled ruefully.
You earned it.
She paused. I'm sorry for being an asshole. The person I'm ordering for, well, let's just say she's demanding. And it seems that's rubbed off on me, even though I know that's like the lamest excuse in the book, but, well, it's true. And so, you know, you deserve the extra large tip to make up for the fact that I was channeling my inner Tiffany. And hey, it's her money I'm giving you, and she won't even notice how much is gone, and...
She took a step back, the paper sack in her hand.
You know what? You don't really need to hear all that. I'm gonna go before my mouth digs me into an even deeper pit. Bye, and thanks. And with that, she turned and jog-walked her way out of the cafe, leaving Erica still trying to unpick everything that had been said by the whirlwind in Burgundy. Chapter 2.
Thanks for yesterday, Chelsea said as soon as Abby joined her at the coffee machine.
I owe you one.
You're welcome. Hope you're feeling better.
Abby smiled, even as her inner voice said, please don't ever be sick again.
Tiffany had been relentless in her requests, and by the end of the day, Abby didn't know how she was still standing or breathing.
I am, thanks. Oh, and just so you know, she didn't leave the city last night. She's coming in again this morning.
Chelsea grimaced.
Wants to be here for the weekly editorial stand-up.
Yikes, that'll have everyone sweating.
Chelsea chuckled.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, better get back to it. Glad I got to thank you before the day runs away from me.
Abby smiled, finished making her own coffee, then headed back toward her cubicle. She'd only just made it when she heard Theo, the senior editor, calling everyone to the center of the floor. It was a weekly tradition for all the content staff, writers and editors alike, as well as the people responsible for the photos and graphics used in each story, to gather around and throw new ideas into the ring, discuss ideas that were already in production, and generally thrash out any hurdles in their way. Usually it was a fun, quick-fire, easy-going session. But today, Tiffany was present, and Abby could immediately sense the impact the woman had on the meeting's atmosphere. She peeked over the partition of her cubicle, gaze roaming over everyone gathered. Tense faces, stiff postures, and shared nervous glances were all she saw. Off to one side, Stacy looked particularly green around the gills, much to Abby's surprise. Theo cleared his throat. A tall, always impeccably dressed black man with hair beginning to gray at the temples. He was wearing one of his trademark vests, this one blue with big yellow sunflowers on it.
Welcome, everyone. Today we're particularly lucky to have Tiffany with us.
He turned to the magazine's chief.
Lovely to see you, Tiffany. Do you want to kick things off?
Tiffany stepped forward. Thank you, Theo. Yes, I do. She took a moment to look at everyone around her. Abby sat enthralled as Tiffany's mere presence and that silent gaze seemed to hook everyone into her immediate sphere. No one blinked. She was pretty sure everyone was holding their breath. The charisma of the woman was phenomenal.
You have given our readership some good content recently. It's varied, thought-provoking, and exactly the kind of quality I want this magazine to instill in everything it produces. However, not all of it is up to that standard.
I won't name names, but I think those of you who are lagging behind know exactly who you are. You will find your way out of your slumps, I'm sure. Please make sure you call on your colleagues to help with that. We are, after all, one entity here at Key. There is no I in team, remember.
Although she was careful not to look at anyone in particular, Abby noticed three or four people awkwardly shuffling their feet or pulling at their collars, including Stacy. Abby blinked. Stacy was lagging? How was that possible? She was one of the magazine's top stars. Although, Abby realized now, the ratings for Our Lives had been a little lower lately. When Tiffany made no move to say more, Theo threw her a wan smile.
Thank you, Tiffany. Okay, who's up first?
Over the next 10 minutes, various people stepped forward with ideas, some more confident than others. No one dared look at Tiffany as they spoke. She kept her own counsel, her face revealing nothing of her thoughts. Silence fell after Margaret, who focused on political content, had said her piece. Anyone else? Tiffany looked pointedly at Stacy and Ricardo, who was in charge of the fashion desk. Abby glanced at Stacy, who muttered what looked like a prayer, then raised her hand and looked directly at Tiffany. She stepped forward, her luxurious black hair untied today so it hung halfway down her back, swinging gently with each step.
Well, I'm happy to announce that I've secured us a product placement deal that will bring a significant amount of money our way. And it fits perfectly with the next idea I have for a fantastic photo story series under the Our Lives banner.
There were some oohs from around the room, and for once, Tiffany did show a reaction. The faintest of movements twitched her lips. Seemingly emboldened, Stacy plunged on. The hospitality company Bennett's runs multiple chains of restaurants and bars across the U.S. They're looking to revamp their brands, wanting to appeal to a younger, hipper, more diverse crowd. The story I have in mind will be a way to showcase the company's assets while also putting Key front and center of what Bennett's vision is for the future of hospitality. Theo was nodding and smiling. Even Tiffany's lips had widened into something that could definitely be called a smile. Abby's chest filled with admiration. The meeting broke up shortly after, with a few people stopping to congratulate Stacy in particular. Once she'd extricated herself from the last one, she strode over to Abby's cubicle.
"Hey, you," Abby said. "That was incredible."
She gasped when Stacy grabbed her by the wrist and yanked her out of her chair.
What the...
Stacy said nothing, simply dragged Abby across the hallway and into her small but beautifully decorated office. She pushed the door closed and leaned against it, breathing heavily, her eyes wild.
Abby, you have to help me.
Are you okay? Abby took hold of her arms. Are you having an anxiety attack or something? Her heart thumped at the distress emanating off Stacy. Stacy gave a strangled laugh.
Something like that.
She pulled out of Abby's grasp and clutched her head.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus, what have I done?
Abby stared at her.
Stacy? What the hell is going on? You're scaring me. Give me a minute.
Stacy took a few more deep breaths, then finally looked back up.
I didn't exactly tell the truth out there.
Shock turned Abby's blood to ice.
What? I am in deep shit.
It looked as if it cost a lot for Stacy to say those words.
I need your help.
Let's sit down and you can start at the beginning. Stacy grinned weakly.
Okay, good idea.
They sat. Stacy behind her desk, leaning on her arms, and Abby opposite, hands clutching at the armrests of her chair. Why was the normally cool, totally in control Stacy melting down right in front of her?
The placement deal is on the table.
That bit was true, but, well, I might have told a white lie to get Bennett's on board, and now I've told an even bigger one.
Stacy bit her lip.
I don't have a story idea. I haven't had a new story idea for ages. I've hit a wall. The dreaded writer's block.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Stacy blew out an extended breath.
It's never happened to me before. I've been faking it, rehashing old ideas into things that sound new but really aren't. But people are smart, and they're picking up on it. Did you see my ratings last week?
At Abby's quick nod, Stacy continued.
Not good. Not good at all. I was on such a high, you know? Really flying, and now... Now I'm not. And now I've promised this killer story series, and I literally have no idea how to deliver it.
Abby sat back, stunned. Stacy, the rising star of lifestyle journalism, suffering from writer's block? It was unthinkable. So, how can I help?
Thank you,
Stacy said quietly. I haven't done anything yet. Abby gave her a small smile.
Yes, you have. You haven't judged me for what I've just told you.
Abby shook her head.
There's nothing to judge. We all tell little white lies all the time.
Stacy snorted indelicately.
I'm not sure that one just now was so little.
They looked at each other, and Abby couldn't help the laugh that burst from her lips.
Yeah, maybe not.
She paused, gathering her thoughts. So, you need that killer story, right?
I do.
Otherwise, this all blows up in my face and I'm probably out of a job.
Or even a career.
Stacy ran her hands down her face. All right, so let's get thinking, Abby said. Let's pretend we're back in Professor Lindstrom's class. Remember how he used to make us do those intense brainstorming sessions based off one trigger word? Stacy's expression brightened.
Hey, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
She reached across the desk and held out her hand. Abby took it and gave it a squeeze.
I'm glad it's you who's here, Stacy said.
I know I couldn't get you a journalism job here, and being the office admin is so far from what you wanted, but hey, no buts. You got my foot in the door. No other paper or magazine would even talk to me.
I'll always be grateful for what you did. I'm here. I work for one of the best magazines in the country. You never know what might happen, who I might impress, who might give me a chance.
You know if it was up to me, you'd be writing, right? It kills me that there's been no vacancies. I'm keeping my ear to the ground all the time, though, okay?
I know you are, and I love you for it.
But hey, we're not focusing on me right now, are we? Thinking caps on, as that windbag Lindstrom used to say. Stacy grinned and steepled her fingers in front of her face. Okay, what's our trigger? Abby pondered that for a moment. You said Bennett's wanted to reach a more diverse crowd?
Yeah, in particular the queer market.
Okay, so they want to appeal to us queers. Abby grinned. I can't speak for all my people. Stacy snorted. But for me, a bar or restaurant has to have a certain feel. Like, is it somewhere I could go on a date with someone special? Or somewhere I could hang out with my friends? Or it could be both if it's the right place. If I saw an ad with queer couples enjoying a romantic night at one of Bennett's bars, that would definitely make me sit up and pay attention.
So a little romance mixed in, huh?
Stacy waggled her eyebrows.
I haven't written a romance in my column since I featured that couple in their 70s who had been high school sweethearts but both married other people after their family moved away,
then found each other again when their spouses both died and picked up again right where they'd left off when they were 17.
Aw, yeah, that was a gorgeous story.
Abby smiled at the memory. And one of your most popular, right? Stacy's eyes gleamed.
Yes, it was, actually.
She reached for her laptop,
Okay, this is a good start. I need a queer romance angle. Something equally cute.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?